a rather sudden, astonishing release or emergence or heightening of musical abilities. One sometimes sees this with epilepsy, with temporal lobe epilepsy. One sometimes sees it with a rare disease called frontotemporal degeneration, when the temporal lobes get released and music and visual patterns can play in the mind. I suspect that something like that happened with the surgeon.
You know, you mentioned epilepsy. You worked in an epilepsy clinic for a while, so you were exposed to a lot of people with epilepsy. And you write about how some people with seizures would hear, like, beautiful music, but other people would be tormented by music. The music would be horrible for them.
Occasionally, music can cause a seizure. I saw a patient, I describe her, who told me that she had been found unconscious with a bitten tongue next to the radio 3 or 4 years ago. And the all she could say was that she had heard some Neapolitan songs being played on the radio, songs which she normally loved, but these produced a queer feeling, a strange, faint feeling, and then she couldn't remember anymore. And this was regarded as an unhelpful piece of history. But then she had another seizure, another convulsion, also following a Neapolitan song. And it became apparent that Neapolitan songs would give her seizures and no other music. She came from a large Sicilian family, and Sicilian and Neapolitan music was always being played. If it was played at a wedding, she had about 20 seconds to block her ears and get out of earshot. Otherwise, she would be taken over. And she was sort of heartbroken because this was music she loved, and now she started to dread it. Now, there have been many cases in the literature. Sometimes it's a particular form of music. Sometimes it's a particular instrument. In one case, it was a peal of bells. Someone would be found unconscious by the radio at 9:01 every night without fail in Australia. And it turned out that it was the sound of bow bells was played just before the 9 o'clock news every night, and that would knock him out. Nothing else would.
Which part of the brain deals with music?
A great many different parts of the brain deal with music, but the auditory parts of the brain obviously deal with music in the first place, with the sound of music. Then there is analysis of the pitch and the rhythm and the timbre and the melody, melodic contours, and other aspects of music in different parts of the brain. The motion of music, the tempo and the rhythm, is separately registered, and so also is the emotional reaction to music. So there are really 20 or 30 different parts of the brain which are being recruited in the musical experience. And these are never quite the same in any two people.
Is language as complex as that? Does it call on as many parts of the brain as music does?
Language doesn't seem to call on as many parts of the brain. And this may be a reason why, if one has a stroke or something and loses language, knocks out a particular language area in the left hemisphere, one usually retains one's musical sensibility, and one can still recognize and sometimes sing songs.
If you're just joining us, my guest is the neurologist Dr. Oliver Sacks, and his new book is called Musicophilia, The Tales of Music and the Brain. What have MRIs allowed researchers to see about the differences between musicians and non-musicians in the brain?
There have been very, very striking findings here. People have been looking for some sort of cerebral correlate of intelligence or of musicality or artistic gifts or literary gifts for ages. When Einstein died, his brain, in fact, was stolen by the pathologist and subsequently cut into little bits and distributed. People wanted to find out what was Einstein's secret. Nothing clear-cut really came of this. And in general, if you look at a brain, either in life with an MRI or later, you can't tell whether